In order to understand, good morning everyone,
good morning.
In order to understand what is happening today, we must look more deeply into yesterday's parsha. And in order to understand it, the parsha begins with the words, "Send men via Turu, there is Canaan, and they should explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving the Bnei Israel." And the parsha ends with the mitzvah of tzitzit. And there's a revealing Rashi. Parsha Tzitzit, which we say every day. So the key verse is that you should make themselves tzitzit on the corners of their garments for their generations. And they should place on the tzitzit in the corner Retil Techilet, a thread of Techilet. What is Techilet?
Sky blue.
Huh?
It's sky blue.
And what is the root of the word Techilet? Tachlet.
To the side.
Because it's the color at the extreme end of the spectrum. That's from the point of view of the definition among the seven colors of the spectrum is tachlit. It shows you the final end. Like the rachul ha-shamay va'aretz. Tachlit is the end result, the end purpose.
So like tachlis.
Mm-hmm. Come down the same root.
Is the same root as the side?
It's especially specifically, if you want to understand this more deeply, I strongly recommend reading the essays of Rav Hirsch on the mitzvah of tzitzit, where it goes into it very deeply. We know also that this color, techelet, was part of the priestly garments. Also, it was the covering for the holy vessels. So it represents the higher dimension. And the way the sages put it, they say, the chelet is like the color of the sea. And the sea reflects the color of the skies, and the skies reflect the Kisei HaKavod. In other words, when we look high up at the skies, even let's say from the point of view of scientific investigation, we can say the words of David HaMelech and Tehillim, and very many of them, Kerish HaMelech HaMaseh Yodecha, and see your heavens, the work of your hands, Hashamayim is suffering, Kodel, the heavens declare the glory of Hashem. For those who study the heavenly bodies, they recognize the vastness of the universe, the miraculous aspect of this huge universe, and they recognize the glory of Hashem. Emotionally and intellectually, the famous words of Isaac Newton, who was, by the way, a lover of the Bible, and more than that, they found it in secret, he believed in the truth of the Jewish Bible, but he kept that a secret, and they found his personal writings, where it goes in this deeply, but his famous statement, when I think of this universe, I am like a person who stands at the seashore and takes up a little pebble and begins to understand what this pebble is. In front of him is the vastness of the ocean, which is still a mystery, divine mystery, and are overcome with awe in front of the greatness of creation. The way Rav Hirsch develops it is the color of distance. Kisa Kavod is the word we use for the throne of glory, because Hashem himself can't be seen. But the world which is created is his seat, is his throne. So that of that we can have a concept. So that's a chilek. Now, when we look at it, when you tem oto, so the sages comment on this, not only you see him through seeing beyond the horizon, beyond the sky, but also reference to looking at this sky blue thread, which acts as a memorial, thereby you remember all the midst of Hashem, velo taturo, as a result you won't go and explore astray after your material feelings and after your materialistic eyes. So Rashi says, Achrei levavachem, if you look at Rashi, kamo mitu haaretz. It's a reference, although the Rashi didn't bring the first verse, he brings the verse when the Merak and the spies came back from exploring the land of Canaan, mitu haaretz. Zalei v'anayim he meraglim laguf. Rather than use the word meraglim, the heart, in this instance, is a reference to a way in which the imagination of a person, which is the heart and the eyes, they explore, and the agents that explore ha'avirot, the sinful aspects of the human being. The eye sees, and then the heart covets, and is filled with desires and physical passions, and then the body commits the sins. It starts with the stimulus of the eye, which influences then the materialistic emotions and instincts. So Rashi is hinting at the fact that tzitzis is an atonement for the sins of the spies. And specifically, the color sky blue. Now, there's an indication given that there might be times when perhaps you're not sure that we've got the tchelet. But the concept is still there. You should have in mind this concept of not looking at life superficially, but trying to find out what's the source of life. Understanding the world also not at its face value, which doesn't give you the truth, but to go deeper in it. And understand who's at the root of creation, all the energies. So this is connected with the sin of the spies, because there are quite a different variety of interpretations in detail given by the classical commentaries. What was their sin? They reported the facts, but the consensus, taking together all the different views which have proven from the text and what happened, is as follows. In the desert, the people of Israel lived on the basis of open miracles on the highest level, both with regard to food, protection from the heat waves as well as the wild animals and enemies through the clouds of glory accompany them. So they felt all the time, you know, we're living a miraculous life in this desert led by Hashem, and therefore they recognized the Father Hashem. They had many tests which unfortunately people failed, but they did teshuvah. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for them that Hashem should still keep them as his people and lead them to the promised land. And the introductory word, if you go back to the beginning of the parasha, is they should explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Bnei Israel. They should recognize I am giving it. And what does the giving mean? It means that even when you're in the land of Israel, there's going to be my hidden miracles, which will accompany you all the time. And you have to have the recognition constantly, this is the land of Hashem. And there are a lot of laws we have to follow in building up the Torah state in the land of Israel, where you'll be given enormous blessing, which depends upon you recognizing Hashem. And then, as it says later in the Chumash, the eyes of Hashem are constantly to give blessing to this land. And has marvelous fruits, which you will enjoy as long as you recognize it comes from Hashem. And you will ask that Hashem look careful. He gave it to you. Don't think it's your land, with which you can do whatever you want like the other nations do. No. You have to become a Mlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. So in a way, the concept of keeping in mind the divine dimension is the most important aspect of living in Eretz Israel. And the problem with these 12 leaders, 10 of them, 2 of them opposed them, but the other 10 leaders, they said, the land is certainly extremely fertile, so they brought the big grapes to demonstrate fertility, productivity. But there are strong cities and there are giants, and nearby there's Amalek. And Amalek is that terrifying nation that goes in for mass murders and even suicide bombers, which is the concept of Amalek. So you can only go, if you go with the blessing of Hashem, recognize that he will protect you. But that they did not report. The spies just reported the plain facts. There's no way, on the basis of the natural way of having security and economy, there's no way in which we'll be able to be strong enough against these giants and against the other difficulties that exist in the land of Canaan, and against Amalek. That was their factual report. But the factual report added to it the fact that from the point of view of all situations of security of nations, like the nations of the world, there's no chance that we, a weak people, military speaking, and even economically speaking, have no experience in this area, there's no chance. So then people were in despair. when you call it, Hashem al Timrodo, wouldn't you rebel against Hashem? The hidden miracles will continue. As they continued, even open away in the desert, Hashem is going to continue to be with you. Now, if you look carefully in the parasha, when Hashem says, these people, they've had their training in the desert. They're the ones who heard the divine revelation at Sinai. And they're forgetting about me. When the threshold of conquering the land of Canaan, which I'm giving them, and I'm behind them. So he uses the phrase, if you look at verse 23. Chapter 14, verse 23. All the men who saw my honor and all my signs, they saw the 10 plagues we did in Egypt and the fantastic miracles of the desert, and then they've tested me now already 10 times. It's always the sign of something being completed, and they did not listen to my voice. And I forgave them, I postponed complete punishment. So Hashem says, in fact, it's introduced by verse 21. I said, the glory of Hashem has to fill the whole earth. How can the glory of Hashem fill the whole earth? Only if my people, Am Yisrael, they will spread the glory of Hashem. How can they do it? By building up a high level of social, political, economic and spiritual life in this land, where I will give them hidden miracles to survive. But all those who've forgotten my open miracles, which were given for the purpose they should become a kingdom of priests, in other words, they should constantly have in mind the priestly color of Tehillah, the divine dimension, they will not see the land which I promised their forefathers. Then he adds the phrase, V'chol mina atzai lo yeruham. All those who reject me will not see this land. They won't go into the land at all. So the colleague, and after this, mentions also Yeshua. Now this phrase, Kol Menatzai, is the key. But both in the book of Yechezkel and in two chapters of Tehillim, it says explicitly that when Hashem made this statement, he was not only speaking about that generation. I mean, the reason why it's not mentioned explicitly, but all prophecies of Hashem in the same manner. It says all prophecies which are needed for the future, they're recorded in the Tanakh. They're not just for the present. So, it could happen that when the new generation goes into Eretz Israel, they'll learn the lesson. They'll keep all the mitzvot of good parents. They recognize the divine dimension. They'll constantly look at the Petil Tehillah and know that our life is individual, life is a nation. But there might be situations, unfortunately, they follow the way of the Meraglim. And therefore it says in Tehillim that the decree was then made also, if they don't listen, then Lahapil Zar'om Bagoyim, their seed of that generation, they'll ultimately be given over to fall down in front of the nations, and they'll be scattered in all the lands of the earth. And why? Because they despise the beloved land. The beloved land's beloved when the people are building up close to Hashem, and it's guided by divine providence. But they don't recognize Hashem, not ready to fulfill His will in that land, nor to recognize that He's the master of the land, then they're doomed to destruction. So it seems that they're already. And that's the depth of the Hashgacha protest we see today. But say like this, we've already spoken quite at length in previous shiurim about the enormous significance of the menorah. And the menorah is the emblem of the state of Israel. It's on the all-state stationery. What does the menorah exemplify? That the people of Israel will survive in Israel, or even the diaspora, only on the basis of kindling the light of Torah, of immersing themselves in the Torah of Hashem. The light of the menorah is the light of the Torah, as we've described. And therefore it's a constant reminder that also today, it establishes the state of Israel, that Israel will survive if we keep to the symbol of the menorah and we allow the light of Torah to grow. For the light of the Torah is not really necessary for people of Israel. In fact, it's called Aron Ha'edut, the Ne'er Maravi, the western light of the menorah. It was always burning in a miraculous way, because if the dedication to Torah, then Am Yisrael will survive. And that's what happened, time of the Chashmonaim, that's the light of the menorah. Now, when there's a question raised, what should be the flag of the state of Israel? So one matter wants to choose is the Magid David. And the Magid David is really the menorah. See? As described already at length. Because the central area of the six-sided star is the central shaft of the menorah, which is the Ne'er Maravi. And then the six sides represent the way in which the light of Torah gives a wide scale of enlightenment in all areas of the physical world also. And the colors which were thought about, Herzl, he couldn't read Hebrew. Also, he knew next to nothing about Judaism, but he recognized to solve the Jewish problem, he thought we must have a Jewish state to solve it. And he is well known, it didn't matter so much to him where he could get a Jewish state. It was his idea and some others as well. In fact, when there was a question of all the difficulties raised by some of the superpowers, but above all also by the Muslim powers, the Middle East. So, suggestion was made. There's an area in Uganda where we can perhaps set up a Jewish state. But the vast majority of the Zionist Congress wouldn't accept that. And one of the leaders of the Zionist Congress, a person called Wolfson, who knew quite a lot about Jewish tradition, he said, we must have blue and white. And blue and white has become the symbol of the Jewish state. So, what lies behind the blue and white? The way Rav Hirsch describes it is that especially the manner in which one has to tie the tilt to chelis, according to Rambam, that You know, there are four different sets of windings separated by knots in the tzitzit. So the first one should be the windings in white, the middle one, two middle ones in sky blue, and the last one again in white. So the white represents the universal aspect of the world, all the nations. All the nations, they also must come to purity, to the whiteness, and the white people. We also hope that one day it won't be darkness, it'll also be light, but be white. And the blue represents the kahuna, the priesthood. And that's the color of the garments, the coverings, and the Beit HaMikdash. Those who have to teach, the teaching of Hashem to the world. So that's the concept of the sky blue. The Petzil Tzacheles, as we discussed now. And each person also must know in his material life, or his many temptations through the five senses, the nine, which stimulate frequently the more physical animalistic urges of the human being, that we've got to try to allow the high dimension of the presence of Hashem to pervade our material instincts, instead of the other way around. Letting your material instincts suppress and minimize our spiritual power. So the spiritual dimension, the higher one of Mamlechet Kohanim, the people of Israel have got to be, as they described also the prophets, Kohanim for the nations of the world. And when Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael with the Beit HaMikdash, then their purpose is to go bring about the purification of the human species. So, it's come about that to some extent there's enormous deep symbolism, but the symbol is got to put into practice. Who put the symbol into practice most? Those who really strive to lead a life in the presence of Hashem in Eretz Israel, and they try their best also to purify their character in that direction, these are the ones who are truly expressing the blue and the white. So, as Rashi hints at, as mentioned, explicitly in Midrashim, the mitzvah tzitzit comes to atone for the sin of the spies of that generation, and also those who today, they look at the state of Israel and the Jewish presence in the land of Israel on the level, let's be a nation like the other nations, which is a desecration. It's from the ways of the Meraglim. Instead, we have to work in the direction that Hashem should be in our midst, and the continuation of the Aron HaKodesh, which exists at that time, and today exists in all places where Torah is learnt and taught, that should be the main task of the land of Israel. Any comments or questions? Yes.
I think there was a sea creature which elicited a dye, and that's where the color came from, and that's what they use for the tzitzits. Today, I see some men wearing one of their tzitzits, and maybe in a few of their towels like a doll, the same color. Yeah. Is that kosher? Is that acceptable or what?
There are three views, what was actually the chilazon, the sea, the marine creature from which one takes the dye. Three different views. And I won't go into that now, but I've given a whole series of talks on it, on the scientific aspect, which is the correct one. The one that there's one which is investigated by the late Chief Rabbi Herzog, who had a major doctorate on that subject. Another one which was researched by the Rajina Rebbe, who spent years also investigating this marine creature. And there's a third opinion also. And most people who take today, put on the tzilt, they follow the tchelet of the Rajina Rebbe to investigate also, and many others. The important thing is not the flag, the important thing is even not the balloon by tzitzis. The important thing is, Shviti Hashem Negdit Hamid. Do we live? Oh, each one of us have to think, am I really living with the awareness of Hashem and trying to reflect Tzelem Elokim, divine image, through fulfillment of his mitzvah and dedication to his Torah? And now one of the striking aspects is if you turn in the Parsha to chapter 14, where it says, verse 39, when Moshe said to the people that they're going to die in the desert, the people mourned exceedingly. And they rose up in the morning, and then they went, started going on an expedition to the head of the mountain, which is the entry into Eretz Kanaan. And they said, behold, we're going up to the place Asher Amar Hashem Ki Chatan, where Hashem said, we sinned by not wanting to go ahead. So now Moshe says, why are you transgressing the mouth of Hashem? And it's not going to be successful. Don't go up. Hashem is not in your midst, and you will be slain in front of your enemies. But the Amalekite, who were a fierce, cruel nation, and they risked their lives to kill the Jews, and the Canaanites, who were also battling, ready to battle, they had armies and many weapons in front of you. You will fall by the sword because you have turned back from Hashem. Hashem will not be with you. Vaya'apilu. But they resisted and they gained strength, la'alot al-Rosh Ahar, to go and top of the mountain. The Ark of the Covenant of Hashem and Moshe did not move from within the camp. The Amalekim and Canaanites were living there to protect themselves from the people of Israel. They hit them and crushed them to utter destruction. And described in the Varim, and they killed you like the bees, near suicide bombers. So the question is, but they said we've sinned. If they said we've sinned, they're doing teshuvah. Why didn't Hashem accept it?
Because maybe it wasn't heartfelt.
You look carefully, it doesn't say, Anachnu chatanu, Asher amar Hashem ki chatanu. God says we've sinned. And we before they said, we want to go back to Egypt. And now the changes that come to Eretz Israel, would you expect Hashem to accept? So you can say like this, Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Israel, then the Quran authorities say, is a mitzvah for every Jew. And the truth is, even if a Jew comes here, and why he's not sufficiently motivated because of mitzvah, wants to get away from the anti-Semitism in other countries, he's still got a mitzvah to come. Most of the authorities say he's got excuses to stay in the Galut. If he doesn't have proper livelihood here, he's got it there. If he can't get married in Israel easily, he's married there. Or even if you can't learn properly in certain place in Israel, so you can stay where he is. But neither all of them say it's a great mitzvah to come to live in the land of Israel. But I say like this, what type of mitzvah is it? So you can say also, this is part of the comparison to tzitzis. Tzitzis is a mitzvah through which we remind ourselves all the mitzvah. Shekula kaleg kol mitzvah shebatura. Mitzvah tzitzit. And from the mitzvah tzitzit we learn out if there's a clash between a prohibition and a mitzvah. So, which takes precedence to stop ourselves doing a sin, or what for the mitzvah? What's the classical example of a seidoch or lota say? It's because in the Varim it says you should gedil in tazilacha, you've got to make tzitzis on your garment. And the next verse says you must not wear shackles. From here we learn out that if a person is 100% sure, which we are not so 100% sure today, that you can have the dye of Tehillah, it's a mitzvah tzitzis in a complete manner, and the tzitzis should be made of wool, the tzitzis of Tehillah, and the garment you're wearing is made of linen, then do you transgress the law of shatas or not? Is it transgression or?
No.
Why not?
Because that's what the Torah says.
How is it put? But I say, do it for Luis, I say. The positive commandment of tzitzis, it puts away the law of shatas. The reason why I can't do it today, because we're not sure which is the right tefillah. And that's one of the reasons some people don't want to wear it, because maybe in the summer you might be a linen garment, keep you cool. And then a person will say, look, I've got a tchela. So therefore I can wear these tzitzis with 100% tchela on the linen garment. Anyways, if you go into it, it's right, a deep concept. The Kohanim also had on their belt a mixture of linen together with tchelet wool. In other words, the Kohanim have this principle also, a seidu v'lotas. But the deeper significance is that the mitzvah of tzitzit is compared to the following. To a person who goes on a ship which drives into a huge storm and the ship becomes shipwrecked. And the captain takes a lifeboat and the passengers are floating on the waves, the stormy waves of the ocean. So he says, grasp hold of this lifeline, and I'll pull you into the lifeboat. Similarly also, we go through the turmoil of life, we often drown in it, we drown in the lower passions, we drown in the impure environment, we're caught by it. So Hashem says, you, I'm throwing you out the lifeline. Ha'azik b'musa al teref mitzreo ki chayecha. It's the Midrash on this verse in Proverbs, which says, grasp hold of Musa. Musa means to tie yourself. Commit yourself, tie yourself. Grasp hold strongly to the mitzvot, and they'll save you. It means you've got to make the effort. And the question people ask is, how can you learn a seder chalos aseh from the mitzvah of tzitzit, which is not obligated, really, according to the Torah, to fulfill? It's only if you're wearing a four-cornered garment that you've got to put on tzitzis. But if you round off the corners, or your garment doesn't have four corners at all, different type of garment, there's no din of tzitzis. And the Torah doesn't say you've got to wear them. The Torah says, well, so then tzitzit, I'll come for you there. If you've got four-cornered garments, then you've got to put tzitzit on. You can get out of it by not wearing such garments. And then all your life, you haven't transgressed it, just missed the mitzvah. So why is the mitzvah, which is so important, shkula kredi kola mitzvah, through which we are reminded of all the mitzvahs, why is it an obligation? Can you give an answer?
Because you're supposed to want to do the mitzvahs.
Hmm?
Just because it's, let's say nobody wears four-cornered garments anymore.
Yeah.
We put it on especially because we want to do the mitzvahs.
Yeah.
So it's not that you're commanded to do the mitzvahs, it's the love of doing the mitzvahs.
Yeah. Good.
It's an interesting question because most of us don't put on a talis gadol. It's a sher kiddushanu for the blessing. So my question is it a mitzvah to put on a talis gadol? And if so, according to which opinion? I know it's a little outside
Look, I'm
of the
not,
scope.
I'm not going to, it's
a little outside of the scope.
I won't go into this now. It's a different question.
Okay.
I'll just say it follows. There are many rabbinical mitzvot. You can learn all about the Hilchot Tzitzit. I'm talking about the essential mitzvah of the Torah. It is an optional mitzvah. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. If you do it, then you have a great mitzvah. You can read Kedusha, it says. But look at the tzitzit, way the tzitzit says, reach the highest level of holiness. To a certain extent, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is the same. And it's important to realize this today. There are many reasons why a person can say, look, especially a person who can find today a secure place where there are no attacks on Jews, so he'll say, wherever I go in Eretz Yisrael, the risks, there's certainly big risks today in Eretz Yisrael. So the duty to live in Eretz Yisrael, as we see from this whole parsha, from the Mapilem, that it answers this question. You've got to want to go, if you, as a nation in any case, the purpose of the nation trying to save itself can only come if the national spirit will be one which is connected with Hashem, because the land is connected with Hashem. That's what it says here. Loma zeh atem uvipyash vilo titzlach. You can't think of being able to grasp hold of Eretz Israel if your whole motivation is one which is connected with building up a nation like the nations of the world. We're not the nation like the nations of the world. We're different. And the land is different as well. The land has been given as a land of Torah. That the people have been chosen as the Mamlechet Kohanim, the people who are close to Hashem. So the land has to be close to Hashem. And the land is close, not close to Hashem, then you're open to all attacks. That was the sin of the Ma'apilim. It's true, even one of the early groups who even frequently also made attacks against against Arab enemies, they called Mizid Mafilim, the time of the before the state. So what this teaches us, Eretz Israel is an Eretz of Kedusha, and to security and the future of the people of Israel, we would not go in the direction of the Mapilim to think that we can do without Hashem, only with Hashem. And the truth is, Baruch Hashem, I think potentially the vast majority of Jews, they are really either they believe in Hashem or they are thirsting inwardly for people to explain to them the meaning of Hashem. And this is the great task we have to face today. This is a parallel between tzitzis, like you said before. Person could develop motivation. Hashem says, Hashem's got to be bekir bechem. Said, Ein Hashem, Hashem is not inside you. If Hashem is inside you, you won't be beaten down in front of your enemies. Hashem will be with you. So let's hope that all of us will do our part to fulfill this great mitzvah, mitzvah eretz, shekula kenekol a mitzvah as well. It's like all the mitzvot, the highest level, even though if the whole intention is shelo lishmo, then its power is weakened. The same applies to tzitzit. The tzitzit person says, I'm not going to bother with it. He hasn't done Navira. Because the tzitzit are there, as it were, to raise up our awareness of Hashem through the principle, like the Ramban described, the principle of Ahava, of love. Love of Hashem is essential for being successful in the mitzvah of Eretz Israel. That's why in Sefer Devarim, when the second generation were on the threshold of Eretz Israel, there is constant description and elaboration how we have to love Hashem. And we must, with a spirit of love, the love of Hashem, which has as its external aspect, how can you define a lover of Hashem? It's the one who wants to get others to love Hashem. It says that how would you fulfill Vahavta Hashem Lokecha? The Medrash says, like Avraham Avinu, She Hashem Yimit Ahev Al Yodecha. You love Hashem by loving other Jews and getting them also to love Hashem. Other human beings, the real, the covenant of Torah. Like an example is given the Major of Ram Avinu. He's called the lover of Hashem. But what did he do? Wherever he went, he tried to bring people to love Hashem. The example we can give from a young couple. A young couple just got married. How do you know if they love one another or not?
They're making shidduchim.
Yeah. If they don't bother, they're not bothered about their friends. Their mutual color has friends, of course they've got friends.
At least it says.
And there are many of them waiting for someone to suggest a good shidduch for them. And this young couple, they get married, and they don't take any notice of their friends. So, it's doubtful whether they love one another strong enough. But if they love one another very much, and they see what a new vista it opens to them, and what a new life they're having, they'll be so enthusiastic, they'll say, well, the Kala will say, you know, I've got a lot of friends looking to get married. He said, no shibdat on kalot, the Gemara says, right? No shibdat on kalot. What does that mean? You know what it means? Yeah. Women have a light mind. Yeah. And now there was a research produced a few years ago. The gray matter of the brain, which is responsible for certain intellectual powers, logic and various mathematical intelligence. So it was found the gray matter in women weighs lighter than that in men. Gray matter in the brain. So of course the feminists got upset by this. But on the other, the sages say, women have more bina. Intuitive understanding is more common, it's more feminine quality. So it balances out than men have. So there's different types of intelligence. And today it's realized, you know, we know women are from Venus and men are from Mars, a different emotional intelligence. Anyway, notion doubt on kalot, how do you spell it? How do you spell kalot?
Kaf
lamed bav tet is kalot. Yeah. Well, kaf. If it's a kaf, that's exactly the mistake I'm referring to. Nashim datan kalot means light with a kuf, but nashim datan kalot is also true, because all women before they're married, they're thinking only when can I become a kalot, and after they're married. If the marriage is really a proper love marriage, they're trying to get all their friends to become kalot. That's according to your spelling, Dora. With a kaf. In Hebrew, you always have to be careful not to confuse the kuf with the kaf. In any case, Eretz Israel is a place where we can learn to love Hashem. And the tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis, is an expression of a seidoch alot asei. And really, there's a question: why is the positive commandment more important than negative prohibition? After all, you've got to rid yourself of evil before you can do good. So merav asei tov. So why a seidoch alot asei? Why is there such a principle? A positive mitzvah, if you don't do it, you're not punished, and by anybody, not by Shemayim. And a negative prohibition, you get malkot for sharpness and for other mitzvot lo tase also.
Maybe because it's easier to do the mitzvot lo tase than it is to do the mitzvot tase. I mean, you're putting more of an effort into things. Things to avoid, that's very easy. You just ignore those things. The things I have to do, I have to make an effort, I have to...
Do any of you know the answer to the Ramban? No. On the Seret HaDibrot? Or the whole essay on it. Ramban says, the power of love is greater than the power of fear. Although we find there are sanctions and punishments if a person transgresses, and there are hardly any punishments for sins of omission, only for sins of commission, they won't expect lo taseh chamur mitzvah aseh, but it says love springs over fear. If you love Hashem, you look aside from prohibition aspect. But the power of love is stronger than the power of fear. You have to also apply in life, keeping away from evil. But the way to cling to Hashem, it's to the high level, which comes through the motivation. And motivation comes from love. That's the symbol, let's say parents. Okay, you have to honor and respect parents. A higher level, you've got to try and reach the level where you can love them. It's not always so easy, because the children, especially reach teenage, then they go through, we all of us, go through an inner feeling, we want to do things ourselves. That's doing things ourselves means not to be told so much, don't do this, don't do that. But if we grow in a good way, it's also important even to the relationship between parents and children. Parents have to treat their children not just those who should listen to them. They've got to try and treat them as a way to say to them, expressions of love will even bring you over all the problems sometimes you have with limitations. That's what parents have to try to develop in their children. Also, certainly, with the power of love, Hillel says, that's the right way. That's the way Mekoban HaTorah, you can bring them near to Torah, especially in Eretz Israel.
Thank you.
I just want to end with one thought to go on record. As follows. Today, unfortunately, speak quite practically. Jews, unfortunately, become so assimilated, so far removed from anything to do with the true concepts of being a priestly nation, and they're so ignorant. So we're faced today with the movement of BDS boycotts. It's not only boycotts, they've got boycotts proposed by Jews, not only those proposed by the Gentiles.
Why?
We've got divestment and sanctions against the BSD, BDS, BDS. So I say, what we need to understand for the future of the people of Israel, especially the land of Israel, that we are, instead of BDS, we have to have BSD, which means B'siyata D'shmaya, to recognize whatever we Jews have is all with the help of Hashem. And we should bring into our lives, individuals, as communities, wherever we are in the world, and also especially in Israel, to constantly feel that really Hashem wants to help us in every way to bring about the Geula. Amen.
Amen.
You also boycott us based on sanctions. This is South Africa, you know, it's a South African organization. Started in South Africa.